Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine for the week of April 12th. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm recording on Wednesday, April 14th. This is questions that came in by Monday night Eastern Time. If your question came in by Monday night and we don't attend to it, please let us know. If it came in after Monday night, it will be in the next Ask Catherine. And again, thank you for your questions. Okay, let's just dive in by category, cash and precious metals. Hi, Catherine. Your answers to subscriber-specific questions have helped immensely to navigate what is going on. I have two questions. Is TD Bank considered a central bank? No, a central bank is a specific institution. If you go to the Bank for International Settlements and click on the members group, you can see the central bank for every country. As far as I know, TD Bank is, I've never looked closely at TD Bank, or if I did, it was many years ago, but I would describe TD Bank as a bank. I use them because I live in two places and TD has branches in both places, but I'm not so attached to them and can change to a local bank as I try to push my red button green. I'm still hooked on Kindle. Yeah, I'm having problems getting out of Kindle. I don't want to lose the inventory. And so trying to figure out how to convert it or what to do about it is an issue. But I'm trying as much as possible not to buy new ones. Okay, so here's what I would do. I would open accounts in a good local bank, but not drop your TD account. And I test out the two local banks and see how the relationship develops, if you get comfortable with them. And then you can switch to one or both. But I would find and test out the best local banks in your area. Also, and you want to make sure that you have a relationship with a decision maker within the local bank. Also, my husband and I did a 1031 exchange 5 years ago. Okay, so you described the 1031 and what you ought to do, and I have no idea because I just don't have enough information. So you've got a 7% cap rate locked in on your current one, and I would be loath to give that up in this environment. I think that's you've done a good job, and it seems to be a stable situation. As long as it's enduring and stable, I would, now's not the time to mess around with things if you can avoid it. So I would be disinclined to, I'd be very careful before I switch something out. And if you look at what the current presidency is doing, it's not Biden or the Democrats. There is a push to end property rights, and they're going to try and drain people out. So it doesn't matter who gets who replaces Biden, as long as the current framework and sort of powers that be are in control. So I think things are moving against property rights, which is why now's a difficult time to make things fluid. Just to round out our pictures, our two residents are almost paid for, et cetera. Let's see. I think to any extent you can start to transfer assets to trustworthy children or relatives in a way that reduces their risk and exposure to the current system. That's a very prudent investment. I always love if kids have mortgages. I much prefer you to finance their mortgages than have it in the system. So I would, if you haven't listened to the first quarter equity overview, I would do so because I go through all the different asset categories and then summarize all the sort of recommended links. So that's designed to help you with the current environment. But sounds to me like what you've done is very prudent. And anything you can do, if you have any more IRA accounts, I think moving things into Roths now is clearly an attractive idea. But of course, everybody's different, so you gotta check your specifics. Catherine, I attempted to send this to the website, but for some reason I couldn't. I will try to make this short and sweet. I've been studying your information as much as possible. My husband passed away in December after 2.5 years battling Lou Gehrig's disease. I was his caregiver. I'm exhausted and now need to move from my present rented residence by May 15th. I received a considerable life insurance death benefit. I'm confused as to what I should do. Hard assets is what I'm gleaming from the plethora of information. I'm 57 years. It seems to me we are near Warren on the precipice in the U.S. of an economic collapse. I pray every day, what do I need to do? Real estate market in the bubble seems not the time to purchase, but getting somewhere safe in the country seems necessary. I live in North Carolina presently. My only daughter and her family are near. Or should we be mobile and campers? I heard you mention your nomadic lifestyle, so you can move jurisdictions when and if needed. Any advice is appreciated. All my funds are liquid presently. The learning curve on silver, gold, precious metals is time-consuming. My head hurts. My heart hurts. But I'm getting through my days trying to figure out what to do, where to go. I have a whiteboard in front of me. I hope you can help me shorten my learning curve with a specific document or something like a to-do list for these times we are living. Thank you for all you do. So here's what's important. When you look at your whiteboard, you need to understand what your primary assets are. And your number one primary asset is you and your health. And your number two primary asset are the people you love, which I'm assuming is your only daughter. So you need to draw them in the middle of the board, and then you need to organize everything else to support and improve their health and their life goals. So you need to put yourself in the middle, and whatever you do in terms of managing your assets, it needs to support those people. They're the center, and they're the primary asset. Okay, so now they're on a chessboard and it's a war game. Okay. And the goal is how you help them navigate yourself and your daughter and their family through the war and come out the other side. So yes, you need a place to live, but you need a place to live where you're happy and that you love and you find out of something other than fear. So I always find prayer to be the best navigational tool to figure out what I should do and how I should do it. And, you know, because this has to serve your purpose. So do I think it's important to find a good piece of land and build a resilient lifestyle that supports you? Yes, you know, but you may rather live in an RV and move around. So you've got to figure out what is the lifestyle for the next year or two that will most support your returning to excellent health, because being a caregiver is unbelievably draining. I have a couple of posts in Solari and the library about Yuan Gong, and I just think it's an unbelievably great way to rebuild and nourish your energetic field. The next thing I would do is I would listen to the first Equity 2021 Equity Overview that I did a couple weeks ago, and there's a wealth of links in there, and I go through the different asset classes of home and real estate and sort of other real assets, as well as my view on what I think the equity markets are going to be doing over the next couple of years. I would not worry about an economic collapse over the next, you know, between now and the end of the year. I would worry about vaccine passports or sort of tyrannical controls. And I don't think the bubble in the real estate market's going to go away, so I wouldn't wait for the big collapse. I would go find the home that supports you and really supports your returning to excellent health. Anyway, so go through the first equity overview and then and let me know if you have more questions. Catherine, I've gotten so much from reading the Solari reports and listening to your interviews in Money and Markets. I do have a few questions I would appreciate. Do you recommend keeping any cash on hand? If so, what percentage of your assets should you have in cash? So I do believe in having some cash on hand, and it depends on where you are. You know, if you're living in the middle of the South Bronx, I would have a lot less than I might if, you know, I lived out where Franklin Sanders and his family have a compound. So, I have no rules about percentage. I need to know much more about you and where you live and your assets to have any guess as to what the percentage ought to be. Do you recommend purchasing gold and silver? And if so, what percentage of your assets should you take possession of in these precious metals? If you go to the links for the first quarter equity overview 2021, I have a set of links, and one of them is to our a commentary called What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals? And again, since I know nothing about you, I have absolutely no idea how much you should have, but that commentary will walk you through a process by which you can figure it out. Do you recommend keeping some of your wealth overseas, like in Switzerland? And if so, what bank would you recommend to manage that money? So I do believe in having wealth in different jurisdictions if you have sufficient wealth to do that. And it's a deep conversation about which jurisdictions you pick. Switzerland used to be one of the better jurisdictions, and now it's come very much under the U.S. sanctions regulation, and so it's much more controlled by U.S. if you're a U.S. citizen. So let me just say this again, although I've said it many times, anybody who recommends answers to any of these questions without having detailed knowledge of you and where you're going and what you're doing, it's not somebody I would listen to. We're in an environment, this is not an investment environment, we're in a war. And there are dangers everywhere. When you have a breakdown of the rule of law, there is no way to protect an asset other than what you can protect with a gun. And in this environment, a gun's not going to do you that much good up against sort of the mind control that we're dealing with here. So I think it's unbelievably important that you understand that there's wide variation of what makes sense for you. So if you look at how I've managed my assets since 2006, any financial planner would tell you that what I was doing made no sense. But that's because I stayed alive to do something. And so I'm going to use all my resources to do that thing. And I'm not here to make money, save money, accumulate money. I'm here to build things. If you listen to the movie of the week, next week on the Salieri Report, it's a wonderful film about the Italian entrepreneur and business leader who created the Vespa scooter. And it basically says everything I got to say on the topic of building wealth. It's quite wonderful. Catherine, I'm searching for a community bank in Vero Beach, Florida. There are about six and several are regional community banks. They all seem to have many billion in assets, except for one, which was founded in Vero Beach in 97. This bank has three branches. FYI, my bank has two, and has its board of directors, people that run successful local businesses. They have a five-star rating. They've had a five-star rating from the rating firm Bauer Financial the last several years. However, their rating has dropped to four this year. It seems their balance sheet has grown in 2020 as they were part of the payroll protection program and have subsequently lent out $62 million in loans through this federal program. They now have $425 million in total assets and $330 million in loans. Last year's earnings came in at $3.7 million. Should I be concerned with their involvement with the Fed program? I'm assuming the loans went to local business. I think it's impossible to find a bank that's not involved in federal programs, particularly federal deposit insurance. So, you know, if all U.S. banks are deeply involved in federal programs, not the least of which is the federal deposit insurance. But if you look at the rules and regulations, their investment securities, basically for a variety of reasons, their investment portfolios drive them into treasury securities. So there's no such thing as a bank that's not deeply involved. Now, if I had two banks rated, you know, four-star, run by successful local business people on the board of directors, and one hadn't participated in the payroll protection program and one had, you know, yes, incrementally, I would prefer the one that hadn't, because that's one that could turn into quite a big task. But they certainly were doing everything that the local business customers wanted them to do. And it probably saved a lot of businesses from going down. So it's not a program that Salieri participated in, nor is it one I would want to participate in. At the same time, I would not. Delete them from your list because of this. I mean, they were basically doing the smart business thing for their customers. Hi, Catherine. Enjoyed your conversation with Joseph. When you talked about returning the $1,400 check from the government, I have to admit, it occurred to me too, even though I certainly could use the funds. Can you share your thought process regarding any pros and especially any cons of accepting money from the government without having been given any stipulations, not to mention permission or agreement. What problems might arise? The reason I did is that sometimes, not always, the government will pass other legislation that applies to you if you did A, B, C, D, or E, of which this could be one of those. And I'm just, because of what I do and trying to avoid any conflicts of interest, I just find it prudent to not take the money. So I'm being super duper careful. And if you look at the kind of due diligence it would take to establish whether or not that provision either exists historically, currently, or could be created in the past, you know, it would take me millions of dollars of due diligence to come up with a conclusion that it didn't exist. So there's no point in doing it. For me, the easiest thing to do is to just, anytime I cannot do business with the government, not have a financial transaction, I'm going to try and do it. Can you share your thought process regarding any, in my mind, what problems might arise? So what might arise is that they pass legislation which would apply to me because I accepted it. In my mind, this does not fall into the category of financial advice per se, correct? There is also a $600 payment in January. Government does insist that monthly Social Security has to be direct deposit into checking account. My feeling about Social Security is you paid in and they're just returning your principal to you. Seeing where their financial intentions seem to be headed, it has occurred to me that the injections wherever required and tied to, for example, a monetary Social Security entitlement, I would refuse the money altogether. I will never take any injections under any circumstances, nor will I participate in any cryptocurrency system. How does one return the funds? Should a person decide on that course of action? I got the instructions from my banker who found it on the IRS website. So if you go to the IRS, you can find instructions on how to return the payments if you want. I do think there's a difference between you and me, and that is I have to be very, very careful and impeccable so that I don't have conflicts of interest doing Solari. I don't think you're in major danger not returning it, but who knows what these guys could do. You know, I never know. Hello, Catherine. God willing, you'll find my email to you agreeable. We love you. It's not something we say to a total stranger. You, Rocco Galati, and Robert F. Kennedy, the only people we can trust and are confident we will always be on the side of the people. Just remember, you know, we're not always right. So, don't trust us completely, you know, take it, listen to it and take it from yourself, as Walt Whitman would say. In your recent Solari report, the subscriber who mentioned, about Pastor Farag questioning about the end times, Gog and Magog, et cetera, I wanted to let you know that this info is not a secret anymore. Let's see, you will not be able to buy it online because you give so much to the world by grace. I would like to send to you the scripture that mentions the occurrence of these events. So, so you can mail it to the Solari Report, P.O. Box 157, Hickory Valley, Tennessee 38042. That's up on our website, and I appreciate the thought, and your greater description is in the notes. And peace and God's infinite guidance and protection back at you. Hi, Catherine. Karen and I are in the process of reviewing where we are financially currently and where we want to be in the future. And then you describe the specifics of your situation. And so whether or not you have more stable investments depends on whether or not it makes sense for you to pay down your remaining debt. Would be one, and whether there is more you can do to invest locally in a fresh food source. With respect to sort of my outlook on the fixed income markets and the equity markets, I would say listen to the first quarter equity overview and check out the links. And that will tell you sort of, you know, my thoughts on those asset categories. Part of the problem you have is if you're going to do index funds, then you're going to end up financing everything you say you hate. So I don't know, but it's tricky to try and change that because it takes a lot of either your personal attention. It's a major project, or working and finding asset managers who can navigate the, you know, running a cleaner portfolio. Okay. Hi, Catherine. I listened to your recent wrap up in which you clearly explained that the central banks are the enemy, not the government. But as a member of the public, I do not know how to address the central banks. The central banks are privately owned by their member banks. So if the New York Fed is the depository for the U.S. government, if the U.S. government is missing over $50 trillion, those transactions, whatever they were, went through those member banks who are agents for the New York Fed as depository, but also own the New York Fed. So it's very simple. Look up the largest members of the New York Fed, and you will see who makes a wonderful candidate to boycott. And I don't mean just boycott doing business with them. I mean boycott associating with any of them. I mean, if I walked up to a dinner table, sat down, and the guy next to me said he worked for J.P. Morgan Chase, I would get up and leave. Unfortunately, I have one relative who does. And I make an exception for him. But each time I have dinner with him, I tell him that. And I give him a whole load of you know what. Okay. First-hand account sent by a friend. The impressions and observations of a Canadian woman returning home. This is not the Canada I left 20 years ago. Shocking and sad. Okay, so then there's a description of the Vancouver, British Columbia airport being run by Chinese army. This is new news to me. I'd never heard this before. And you're saying first-hand account. I would love for anybody in the Vancouver area or in British Columbia to let me know if they can confirm this, because this is pretty frightening if it's true. Dear Catherine, why is it so easy to lure people into this COVID cult? Wear a mask, keep social distance, accept encroachment of civil rights. This is all unnatural. Okay, so now I'm going to give a speech, which I've been giving for 10 years, and I feel like we need to have a come to Jesus moment about this. If you go to Solari and you put children as a search in the search engine, in the search bar, and you'll pull up in about the fourth or fifth commentary, a commentary links tactics used on young people and children, mind control tactics used on young people and children. And at the bottom half of it, it also has tactics used on everyone. And this is a compilation of links about how mind control is implemented. Mind control has a long history. I trace it into being brought back from the Middle East by the Templars in the Crusades. The best book on the history of mind control is Secret Don't Tell by Carla Emery. You can buy it online. Her relatives run a website where they're selling their last copies, and I strongly recommend it. You'll find it in the best books for the year. I think every year we put it in. Anyway, but that will give you a history, and she describes it as a history of criminal hypnosis. During World War II, the Germans did, and the Americans did, extraordinary research into mind control, and since have figured out how to take the tactics used to, for example, create Manchurian candidates. We all know the movie Manchurian Candidate. But how to take the tactics of training one person to become a Manchurian candidate and to be under the influence of mind control, and basically engineer it so that it could be taken on scale through electronic means, through your phone, through your TV, etc. So one of the ways I bumped into this was when I was on Wall Street. I heard two billionaire types talking about how they were going to roll out entrainment technology on TV. It so scared me, I went home. That was it for TVs in my house. When I was in the Bush administration, a decorator bought a TV. She said I couldn't not have a TV if I worked in the government, and I promptly gave it away when I left the administration. But oddly enough, that was 1984 when I overheard that conversation. Anyway, so I haven't had a TV since. And in 2000, 2001, I went around the world and spoke. I spoke in Sweden. I spoke in London. I spoke in New Zealand. I spoke in many states across the United States all in the same year. And every time I would ask my audience, how many people here watch TV? And it was less than 10%. And that's when I discovered, oh, my audience are people who don't watch TV because they're not mind controlled and they want to know what's going on. So what I will tell you is that 80 to 90% of what is happening right now, in my opinion, is driven by mind control. Every one of us digests huge amounts of mind control every day. I have to work on computers, on the internet. I digest a huge amount of entrainment. You digest a huge amount of entrainment. It is much more powerful and addicting than you think. It affects what we buy. It affects our financial investments. It affects our political choices and on and on and on. And until and unless you figure out how to understand it, recognize it, and start to protect yourself against it, you and I are toast. And the COVID cult represents people who have been seriously victimized, not just by mind control, but by propaganda, by disinformation, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want to survive or endure in this environment, you've got to learn about this stuff. You've got to face it. You got to deal with it. We have a Soleri report that's linked in that commentary, which I recorded in 2010 because I was running into investment clients who were being absolutely tricked with this. I've seen people, precious metal dealers, use it. I've seen people marketing private placement use it. I've seen, I believe it's a major marketing tool with porn and building control files on people using porn. So this is very, very dangerous stuff, and take it seriously and learn about it. So I say 80 to 90% of what is happening is coming from these kinds of mind control technologies. I know people who would say it's less than 10%, and I have to tell you, I think the difference between them and me is one of the most effective parts of the mind control is persuading people mind control doesn't exist. So, or they're free from it. And I tell you, no one is free from it. One of the things I love about being a Christian is Christianity teaches absolute rules. And every time I'm totally resonating with the idea of breaking one of those rules, I know I have to sit down and say, okay, is mind control at work here? Okay, a freedom-loving man like me does not accept these measures. Each time I go to the grocery store, I wonder why people are accepting this insanity. Does it have to do with the human psyche? No, it has to do with the technology. You need to understand the technology. There are all sorts of great movies that describe mind control. I strongly suggest you watch what is a perfectly dreadful movie called The Kingsman, and you understand. And there's another perfectly dreadful movie called The Cell. Now, they show you much more extreme cases, but sometimes the extreme cases help. Anyway, I won't keep reading the letter, but one of the reasons I like to get out in the rural areas as under as many trees as possible is, and around people who work and do concrete things with their hand is, you know, if you're a plumber, you don't spend a lot of time on the internet, and you tend to digest less of this than other people. Okay, we're turning to feedback. Dear Catherine, I almost can't express how much I love the cover to this first quarter's wrap-up, Take Action. I'm a father, and this is far from the first time since finding and joining Soleri that your perspective on children has won my heart. Robert Duper's won your heart, but I love all the stuff he does with kids. In November 2019, my wife and I got dropped onto a Normandy beach since family members coordinated to bring allegations against us to CPS. Ooh, that's really bad. That's really dangerous stuff. Okay, well, I've put your letter in the notes. And boy, our prayers are with you. If there's anything we can do to help, just let us know. But just remember to archive. Keep a diary. Keep a chronology. Keep a record and archive everything. You have to be great at paperwork if you're going to fight with these folks anyway. And again, prayer is such a great navigation tool. If you don't have a copy of our prayer book, I strongly recommend you go into the website and order one. Just do a search for prayer and you'll get it. And the Deer's Cry is the last prayer in the book, and I strongly recommend it. Hi, Catherine. I recently saw a modestly priced 5-acre lot. My first reaction was, why do they call it 5-acre lot and not acre land? I learned from the broker that there's a covenant restriction agreement involved. I read through it, and it's not restricting me from doing anything I want to do, which is dig a well, grow food, and eventually build a home there. Make sure you have a good local real estate attorney check and review the restrictions for you. We will be surrounded by prefabricated homes, which I would just build a fence and put up beautiful trees to not have to see. It probably rules out deer hunting on my land, but perhaps not duck and geese hunting. Who knows? Perhaps the surrounding neighbors could be good, solid people that we can count on in these end times. Anyway, based on what you just read, should I go take a look and make an offer? Should I make an offer without looking? I would never make an offer on any real estate without looking at it. In theory, there could be situations where you have a land person go look at it for you, but I would definitely have a local real estate attorney you can trust go through the restriction agreements and make sure you have complete understanding of what they mean to your use of the property as well as your ability to sell it. Hello, Catherine. I was listening to the April 8th Ask Catherine, and a subscriber spoke of fear. You indicated that you had a prayer against this. I checked the PDF but found no reference to it. It's the last one. It's called The Deer's Cry, and the introduction to it says it's for a time of real trouble. My girlfriend is dealing with fear anxiety issues, and I believe she would benefit from whatever it is you suggested to the 24-year-old subscriber. As an aside, I noticed prayer books on offer when I type prayer into the search bar. Is that something that is still available? Yeah. So just fill in the form and send in a request for a prayer book. And, you know, if you want several, so for family, girlfriend, just let them know how many you want. And there's a PDF right there, and you can also print out the PDF. But the prayer books are free. So just let us know how many you need, and we're happy to mail them out. We don't charge money for scripture. We didn't write it. Hi, Catherine. While I'm going to fight the bitter end, the Borg are going to win because they can and they have the will to do so. They've always had the will to do so, but now technology makes it all possible. Their treasures are on earth, mine are in heaven. My guess is yours are too. Until then, how does a 63-year-old and his spouse survive the coming tsunami and show his kids how to do the same? I live in a smaller town in East Tennessee. I know my banker, my mayor, my sheriff, and have a great network of friends. I work undercover for United Way. That's another conversation. But when the power and be shut off the money because I won't toe their line, what to do? Use local coins, 90% silver, and gold coins to start transacting. And in fact, you can write a paper system, you know, that allows you to leave the gold and silver as collateral and use paper. But you're going to have to start a community currency. And I think the fastest way to do it is to just do it. We're going to relaunch our gold and silver calculator in a month or two, and that'll make it easier for you. So get ready to use coins. Dear Catherine, thank you so much for making life so better informed and doing so with grace and beauty. Love your taste in music. Have you seen your Wikipedia page? And then there's a long description of the problems with our Wikipedia page. We're under attack. Interestingly enough, they said I was a Q supporter. That was really funny, but it looks like that got taken down because, you know, I'm infamous as being very critical of Q as hope porn and disinformation. Anyway, so I have it on my list to make a detailed response to different inaccuracies on the wiki post. And so more on that later, but I appreciate you letting me know. And if anybody is an approved wiki editor, let me know. And when I get this commentary up that sort of provides the facts and the detail, I can send it to you. Hi, Catherine. I have a friend who opened her one-person hair salon during COVID and is very busy. She now wonders if it is wise to expand or buy her building, or if she should add coffee juice bar that I would run to complement the hair salon. Another option would be to just invest in gold or the markets with the cash she's currently making. I don't know enough about where you are and what's going on. I would buy, you know, if I have a business that depends on a building, I would be inclined to buy it. I also think if you do a coffee juice bar, do a search for ghost restaurant. And a ghost restaurant is a restaurant that can do takeout and even delivery or delivery with some of the delivery services. So I would take a look for resiliency at whether or not it made sense to do the coffee juice bar also as a ghost facility. And I'm a great believer in you build forward day by day by day. And I would just encourage you to remember something Franklin Sanders said, which was, he said, I want to impress on people that the day after the global financial crash, somebody's going to wake up hungry and want breakfast, and somebody's going to make money making breakfast for them. So there you go. Dear Catherine, I don't understand the bit about the Fed aiming to destroy the economy so that they can pick up assets at bargain basement prices. Could you please explain why, if the Fed can print all the money they want, why they would care what the price of anything is? You underestimate the greed. If you have to buy full price when you're printing, you'll get hyperinflation and things will run away. Anyway, you're trying to harvest. And remember, you plant a field and then you harvest and you replant it and you harvest and you replant it and you harvest. So it's the same with the money guys. They pump, dump, pump, dump, pump, dump. What they're trying to do is get the benefit of your labor and the assets you've created. And they can't just do that by buying it, because then you will be able to see the game. In last week's Ask Catherine, you corrected someone who said that you had spoken highly of Dr. Shiva. Is there any particular reason for your reticence? Oh, I thought they were speaking about somebody else, not Vandana Shiva. So, no, I have very high regard for her. Hi, Catherine. I was wondering if you had heard of Panquake. It may be a good candidate for donations. I haven't heard of it. I have no idea what it is. Comment, I've changed a few minds with this language. You're welcome to share in any form. And it's got a note about who's selfish in terms of the non-compliant citizen versus the compliant citizen with face diapers and other ridiculous things. Howdy all, I had a noteworthy experience while attending an Easter church service, having not attended church at all here for a year and a half. Firstly, the visible overhead spraying reached an extreme the day or two before. The day would have been cloudless. There were so many chemtrails in the early morning, it was shocking. They were low altitude, and the day was obviously cooler than it would have been as the trails became wide cloud cover. The church we attended is brave enough that no one wore masks. Midway through the sermon, I found myself suddenly with a very strange feeling, headache, and quite tangibly dizzy. At the same time, the pastor had to stop speaking and ask for a drink of water. He couldn't continue his sermon until he drank the whole cup. It was a 2 to 3 minute pause right in the middle of things. It made me realize something tangible truly was happening. Something got pointed at us. It was not nice. Has anyone experienced anything like this? Best regards to you. I haven't experienced anything like that. I did have a situation where I was having a plane fly over my house and spray, God knows what it was. It's probably Agent Orange or something like that, overhead. Specifically on our house, they did several passes and was very low. And, you know, so that is a tactic. I sent you a message and haven't heard back. I asked if your church had installed a glass door. There was an effort about 5 or 10 years ago to install glass doors on churches. And my concern is it was going to make it possible to sort of interact with them on with EMF from satellites, and I did everything to persuade anybody who would listen to me to keep their old wooden doors. So if you had one of those doors installed, you might think about switching it out. You know, when I describe what's happening as the great poisoning, it is very, very real. Hello, Catherine. Further to the plague laws, as I read in The Edge of the World, I remember seeing and archiving an interesting documentary titled The Spider's Web, Britain's Second Empire. Michael Hudson even makes an appearance. It's excellent. We've had it on Let's Go to the Movies several times, and I can't recommend it enough. It is absolutely a critical ingredient of the financial coup d'etat, what's going on and going direct. Regards. Sorry to be such a pest, Catherine. Actually, pest is the Dutch word for the Black Death. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I'm revisiting the 2030 You Will Own Nothing Feudalism Revisited wish list, rather uninspiring writing, to the 2030 You Will Own Nothing Feudal Fantasy. It's being managed by Schwab, the feudal fantasist of world economic feudalism. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Trudeau, and Mr. Biden being regional feudal lords, all three relishing their near unfettered powers to spend and rule by medical decree. Perhaps build back better translates to build back in, time better. Feudalism done right. Let's see. What was once F for falsity evolves to F for feudal. That looks good on Boris's head. Dear Catherine, I'm a subscriber to Solari. I thought I would share this. Glenn Beck is describing the U.S. version of social credit scores. Glenn Beck did a very thorough job of going through the ESG, SDG, and climate change standards for investment and described why he was concerned that they would be weaponized against individuals. It's a very clever form of capital control. And I think it's going to become a serious problem. So I think his warning was well taken. Then somebody sent in a letter. So this is a letter you sent to your county commissioners about the ESG problem and the use of sort of voting with your money to end freedom. You know, so the bad guys can use these tactics, so can we. And let's see, there's a long letter and it's all in the notes. Question, what do you know of Google Smart Cities? I have a daughter that is young and got a job at Google. What do you believe is the intention they have for these young employees? They are going to have their young employees build the so-called smart cities, or cities that essentially where you have complete control of people. If you want to know about smart cities and the intention, I would strongly recommend you read Patrick Wood's books on technocracy and Rosa Quare's books on Agenda 2030. But smart cities are basically prisons. It's the only way I can describe it. Okay. Are you familiar, Catherine, are you familiar with Kees van de Peel in the Netherlands? He wrote a book about MH17, is completing a book titled in Dutch, Pandemic of Fear. He hopes to have it translated into English soon after publishing it. I don't know of him, but I will definitely check it out. I appreciate you letting me know. Hello, Catherine. I mentioned this piece in a comment on the first quarter wrap-up message. Until now, I've never understood the connection. It's a sculpture from Seward Johnson. He works in bronze. Those at the top make the rules, living by their own with the working class chained to the bottom. I asked a few of the masked tards walking about for their interpretation. Of course, they were without a clue. Where is this? You sent the picture, but I don't know where it is. Good morning, Catherine. I'd like to nominate Dr. Vandana Shiva for Person of the Week. The latest interview discusses the benefits of regenerative agriculture in a future regeneration international project. This is an interview with Mercola. It's very good. And as I said, I have her latest book and I mean to read it, but it's in a big pile. Hello, Catherine. Fox interview with Pastor, 670,000 views. Okay, I posted that. Somebody else sent, Dr. Ryan Cole of he's Iowa or Idaho, did an absolutely fantastic lecture. He's a pathologist, and among other things, he describes the importance of strong vitamin D levels in your blood and your body. And it's a fabulous thing, and people keep recommending. I've probably gotten 20 people sending it to me. So we've had it posted from the beginning. And yes, it's very, very good. And so the link is in the notes. So then, Catherine, wow, so disappointing. No state is safe, I'm afraid. And then they've got a link to the Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, showing that she got the Pfizer vaccine. And that, I have to tell you, that's very disappointing. Very disappointing. Okay, that's it. Thank you again for your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day and onwards to money and markets.